Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, here's the thing. The brother really needs no introduction. I'm going to give him one because it's proper radio etiquette. Torrey in the building. How are you, man?
I'm good, sir.
You are a true intellectual journalist. You got two podcasts, Torrey Show and Democracy-ish.
Yes.
Is "ish" short for the other way?
No.
It should be.
No. It could be.
Exactly.
It could be. But Democracy-ish looks at the election week by week. It's me and Danielle Moody Mills, a brilliant sister who's on MSNBC all the time.
Yes.
Talking about the election from a black and progressive perspective, right? So it's sort of down from, you know, from black-ish, democracy-ish. That's what we're doing. You know, we're talking about it from a black perspective. What do black people need to get out of this election and these candidates? So we talked about Kamala last week, and a lot of people talking about, she's a cop. She locked up some black man. We can't support her. I'm like, well, y'all supporting the author of the crime bill. So how you got a problem with Kamala doing her job as the DA and the AG when she was against cash bail, when she was fighting against three strikes? She was a much more progressive DA and AG than she's been given credit for. And we have this completely simplistic notion that she locked up black men so we can't support her. No, that completely misunderstands the situation and where she is right now.
Let me make sure I explain to people the depth that you bring. You're an American writer, music journalist, a cultural critic, television personality. You've had many, many shows. You were the co-host of the TV show The Cycle on MSNBC, mm-hmm. and the list goes on and on and on. Now, you have always been a thinker, and sometimes your philosophy is not only thought-provoking, but it can be offensive. I've been in that boat myself. Let's talk about...
Look, if everybody agrees with what you said, then you ain't said nothing.
Come on, man. Seriously. You're not even talking, right?
Right.
I want to talk about the primary.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the primary. So here's how I see it. 50%, some say 51%, black folks supporting Joe Biden still, okay? You have a natural split with the progressive base of voters
mm-hmm.
because you have...
Bernie. Elizabeth Warren.
There you go.
Kamala Harris.
Credible progressives.
Absolutely.
Senator Booker even. Okay?
Yeah.
Credible progressives. Now, Joe Biden is still getting the lion's share of the black vote because, as I've said on this program and on MSNBC, black folks vote in many ways by way of relationship.
Mm-hmm. And we know Joe.
And we know Joe. And Joe was the VP of the first black president of the United States. And somebody challenged me on this, Torrey, one time. And gave me all of these talking points as to why they support Joe Biden now. And I said, listen, Joe Biden has run for president multiple times. He's never polled above 1% with black people. He has never polled above 1% with black people. Now he's polling at 50% plus with black people. Mm. That's relational.
Yeah. We know him. And there's this other notion out there that he's electable, which in 2019 I think means he's a white man who maybe some white people will vote for, right? We're talking about we are scared of another Trump administration, so let's go for the safest choice and somebody who some Trump voters might vote for. I think trying to get Trump voters to vote for the Democratic nominee is a losing strategy. It's a scared strategy, and it doesn't take into account, you cannot assume that all Democratic voters will come out and vote for the candidate. What Trump did was super excite the Republican base to where Republicans who didn't vote were coming out to vote for him. People who were like not normally voting were coming in droves to vote because he was doubling and tripling down on what Republicans want. And we're out here talking about, let's get a moderate who people who don't even like us might vote for. That is a backward strategy. But what is Joe Biden talking about? What is he proposing that would excite black people to where half of us are like, Joe Biden is our guy?
I still don't know where he's at on reparations.
What is reparations? Any of it? What is the policy? It's like a singer who we're all supporting. Well, what is his hit record? He's got no hit records beyond the fact that he's Crime Bill Joe, right? He's been against busing. He's worked with segregationists happily, right? And I know that's the past, and people are like, let's stop talking about the past. But what is he talking about now?
So let me challenge you on something, because even though I'm not riding with Biden, I understand that a robust and aggressive Democratic primary, whoever is left standing, will probably be strong. Probably. Okay?
But I want, and I want you to continue your point, but I want somebody who people are excited about.
Well, I agree with that.
And that excitement and enthusiasm is important. Trump had incredible enthusiasm from his voters. Hillary, God love her, I was with Hillary from day one. She did not have that excitement. I know some women were excited about her, but most Democratic voters were not excited. Are people excited? Is anyone excited to vote for Joe Biden?
Well, I don't think so. Now, let's go back to the Hillary Clinton race. You have to always contextualize that election with this. She did excite 3 million plus more people to vote for her for the opponent.
She got 3 million more people.
More votes.
But people were not a lot of Democrats were not excited. Like you saw, Bernie had excitement. Trump had excitement. Obama in 08 had excitement, right?
Now, let's talk about the election today. Midterms, right? The face of the midterm elections was kind of scattered as far as the Democrat was concerned.
The face, to me, the face was AOC.
Well, I don't think the face was AOC during the actual election, because in Georgia, AOC got no play in Georgia whatsoever. But we still won congressional seats. For example, Lucy McBath beat an incumbent Republican in a solidly Republican district that Newt Gingrich used to hold.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Now, AOC didn't play into that.
And what a story from Lucy McBath.
It's a remarkable story because she embraced not only progressive values, but gun control.
Yes.
As part of her platform.
And not somebody who's come up through the ranks, traditional politician. Correct. But a real citizen who had a tragedy happen in her life and say, I'm going to use this tragedy to try to make good in the world.
Now, what happened in that race and other races like that? The face of the Democratic Party during that time, for many of us, was Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi commercials as if Nancy Pelosi was the person running in that congressional race, right? Okay. And then you had the other face. It was Donald Trump. Donald Trump presented, here's what you have now. This is your first time nationally, the first opportunity to indict his presidency.
To speak back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they did. And they did in record numbers for a midterm election. Now we have more women serving, more blacks serving. We have more gays and lesbians serving than in the history of our country. Not because
more Muslims.
More Muslims. And not because people were simply only excited about the person running, but they were excited about the person they were running against.
Well, but we have to provide more than just against.
I agree.
We know that we hate Trump and the outrage could not be any greater, but we have to have a reason for.
Let's talk about that.
Part of what Nancy Pelosi did was make it about health care, right? So there's a reason for.
I'm going to read something to you on the other side of the break that I wrote actually for FoxNews.com.
Okay.
All right. I wrote that Mueller is not the answer for Democrats. It should be about policy. We'll talk about that on the other side. 30 minutes after the hour, I got one of the greatest political minds of our generation in the studio, Torre. We got more. News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Hi.
What's happening? Welcome back. I'm still in the studio with Torre, journalist, podcaster, and a whole lot more. I mean, this brother is absolutely one of the greatest minds we have in our generation. I want to read a little bit of what I wrote. This was a while ago, referencing the Mueller investigation and the Mueller report and how everybody was putting their eggs in the basket. I mean, yeah, it is damning what Mueller said. I mean, the report is damning on face value, okay? So I wrote in part that Democrats have been building up the credibility and investigative professionalism of Special Counsel Robert Mueller for virtually 2 years. To maintain intellectual integrity, Democrats should now accept the conclusion as it relates to the seemingly defunct Russia-Trump conspiracy and focus on policy-related concerns. And I go on and on, and I say, now Democrats are faced with an undeniable reality. They would have to work for their victory the old-fashioned way, electoral politics. It may sound cliche, but the best way to defeat Trump is at the ballot box.
Yes. Yes, I'm with Jim Comey that we, as a nation, created this problem, and we're going to have to solve it at the ballot box. I would like to see impeachment hearings just to push the information out to a lot of people.
And it distracts them politically, if you have them.
But the other side will not be listening, right?
Yeah, but I don't think...
And they're in a bubble where facts don't impede.
Yeah, but that's a small part, Torre. And let me explain what I mean by that. I think Trump voters, like real Trumpites, Trump humpers, as I call them here, they have reached market saturation. You're not getting more Trump humpers. You're getting less. You're getting people kind of defecting and saying, ah, you know what? I was wrong. I got a lot of them call my program now, okay? But there's still this large, in the middle, apolitical, moderate type voter who will look at some of this information. I think an impeachment inquiry does a couple of things. One, it allows more information to come out. Two, it distracts Donald Trump. Donald Trump is best when he's not distracted from his strategic, aggressive political game. If he has to run against the opponent of the Democratic Party and run against a congressional impeachment inquiry, it will destroy his ability to professionally or even aggressively articulate rebuttals that will come after him during the presidential race.
I think that we are dealing with a Trumpian nation in that the problem is bigger than this one specific individual. And we're dealing with the dark heart of America.
Of course.
Coming out.
Yeah.
And being welcomed to come out into the light. And when we think about how much we were outraged about Bush, and Trump takes that exponentially farther, does the next Republican nominee go even farther than that? Because right now I'm like, yo, I would pay $20 to have W back, right?
I would pay $2,000.
Right? And I never thought that I would say, I'll take W over what we got. But might the next person, because part of the thing with Trump is he's ineffective. He's a buffoon, right? He has not been able to institute policies to where we're like, oh, my God, like, where are we? Right? The rhetoric is hardcore, but he hasn't actually instituted policies that were like, this is permanent, this is problematic. Then an effective Trump, like a Pence would be, like a Ted Cruz would be, that would be far scarier.
Did you think at any point in your natural life that you would be rooting for a Jeb Bush to win the Republican primary? Because I said, I cannot believe.
No, I mean, Jeb Bush was an acceptable Republican to me.
Me too.
I don't want there to be a Republican president, but I was like, if there's going to be one
man,
of them.
I was rooting for that cat, man.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at him, especially because he was not racist.
Yeah.
So much of this party is overtly racist and or silent when racism happens, which is baffling to me.
Sure.
Why do you think racism is the way? Why do you need racism to succeed? That's the problem. And when you have these black Republicans, I'm looking at it like, you're crazy because you're rolling with racists and not saying, and they're like, get off the Democratic plantation. I'm like, and go where?
But
to hang with the Klan guys?
That becomes the lack of intellectual integrity when they say, get off the Democratic plantation. Okay, I could ride with that because Democrats have not always been true to black values. I'm good with that conversation. But then you say, get off this plantation in exchange for this other one that's far harsher on the values of black folk.
I mean, the Republicans are not offering black people anything. Right. They are not speaking to us. Right. And they are welcoming of racists against black and brown people. So how am I rolling with you? What choice do I have beside the Democratic Party, which has tried to give stuff to black people? I mean, like when we talk about the revolution of healthcare that we have seen in the last 10 years, that has been revolutionary for a lot of black people's lives. What are Republicans talking about beside the fact that the Republican Party is not ready to govern, right? It is a party of defensiveness, of saying no, right? I feel like they didn't really think that they were going to win because now they're like, well, what are we? The dog finally caught the car. What do we do now, right? What was your plan to run the country? You've been against the ACA. Okay, there are better ways to do it, but what was your idea?
None.
You've been in charge now for a few years. What do you want to do? They don't even know. So, you know, I'm not this. It's a party, despite winning votes, it's a party that is in the wilderness and that they don't know who they want to be. They don't know where they want to take the country. They just don't want to go in the Democrats' direction. But what is your direction? I don't know.
Let's talk about racism for a second, because every now and then I am challenged, just like you are, to prove that Trump is racist, right?
Wait. But all we have to do is ask the professional racist. The Klan thinks right. that he's racist.
That right? is very
Richard,
true, right?
Richard Spencer and the Proud Boys think he's one of us.
Right.
Don't ask me.
David
ask
Duke is like,
racist.
This is our dude.
This is our guy.
All day.
Hail Trump. So ask them.
Look at what Trump said about the four congresswomen of color when he basically said, go back to where you came from. Trump has been in political dissension with a lot of people. That is nothing new. He has been in political dissension with white folk and with people of color. He has only told people of color, however, to go back to the country they came from.
That's right.
The problem with that is that in America, we are a nation of immigrants, which means every white person that he has had a political disagreement with has a lineage
else.
That came from somewhere else. So he could have said that to Mitt Romney. He could have said that to Jeb Bush. He could have said that to Marco Rubio. He did not.
He's a white supremacist. To him, this is a country for white people. His whole campaign has been about white grievance, white power, white victimhood, right? I mean, God, my God, the victimhood runs so
oh,
deep.
Oh, goodness. But that's orchestrated by Steve Bannon and crew.
He understands it. I mean, you know, trying to bar Tlaib and Omar from going to Israel
Come on, man.
Is just so petty.
Yeah.
It's just so small. And I'm just talking about just a general character. I don't think I know anybody in my life who is that small of a person as he is. It's just so disappointing.
Did you see the interview with Anderson Cooper and Joe Biden?
No.
Okay. I got to tell you, man, I was getting ready for my show. It came on early in the morning. They aired it on CNN very early. And Joe Biden did the typical get off script thing he normally does, right? So he went from policy and politics to these very personal stories, and he teared up a little bit. But I remember looking at this interview saying, wow, this is what humanity looks like. Now, even though I'm not riding with Biden, having the constant influx of the Trump saga and how he responds to everything, it was refreshing to see what humanity looks like at that level still.
And dignity. See, and I thought about that when Biden did his race speech responding to Trump in Iowa. Remember that? About
man.
A week, 2 weeks ago?
That was the best speech he has ever given, though.
Yeah. and a Democratic politician's got to be able to play that note.
Yeah.
Right? But I was watching it like, wow. Kamala would do this speech so much better.
Oh, of course. Let's talk about
Elizabeth,
that.
Elizabeth Warren would do this speech so much better.
You got somebody right now?
I love Kamala, who I know personally. I've known her for about 10 years. I love her as a person. I love her as a leader. I trust her. I believe in her. I know she is brilliant. I know she is compassionate. I know she is powerful. I trust her deeply. I would love to see her as our leader, and I would love to see Elizabeth Warren as
okay.
our leader.
So let me tell you my theory, and I've talked about this on air a few times before. I think we are probably still in the politics of extremes. George W. Bush gets elected. He does some things that's embarrassing. He makes some decisions that we find to be offensive in this country. He goes real far to the right in his conservative politics. He's an old white man who's not the smartest guy. That was the brand, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what does America do? We elect the young, smart, charismatic black guy.
We go 180.
That's right.
From election
now,
to election.
That's right. So Obama
the first
represents
black
the
president
opposite.
Is, of course, followed by the most racist person we've
right,
ever seen.
Right. The most disagreeable white man you can find becomes the president of the United States after Obama. If we are still in the politics of extreme, Torre, if we're still there, the only person running for president right now who represents the polar opposite of Trump is Senator Harris.
Well, I think Elizabeth Warren also represents. the opposite
but,
of Trump.
But not polar and, opposite,
and
man.
And I want to speak to the people who are scared to nominate a woman. I am offended by your position. I am offended by your fear.
Yes.
There is no reason why a woman cannot win. We are not looking for somebody to go in the debate and say rude things to Trump. We don't need to out-Trump Trump. I want dignity and humanity to return to the office.
We got more on the other side. Phone lines are jam-packed. You're getting real with the realest man on radio. What's happening? Welcome back. I got Torrey in the building, author, got several books out, including The Portable Promised Land, 2003, Soul City, 2005, Who's Afraid of Post-Blackness, What It Means to Be Black Now, and I Would Die for You, Why Prince Became an Icon. He also is a frequent contributor to The Daily Beast. Now, you really have a lot of cred, like street cred, when it comes to hip hop. You do. Okay. Let's talk about Jay-Z.
Let's do it.
And his new partnership with the NFL. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I have a new commentary that's coming out on V103 and WAOK today about my feelings on the Jay-Z NFL partnership. But I'll let you go first, man, because I think you and I may disagree on some finer details.
I think this might be Jay-Z's biggest public mistake. I think that he is allowing himself to be used as a pawn for the NFL to say, hey, look, we're not racist. We're rolling with Jay-Z. Jay-Z supports us. It allows Colin to be pushed aside. And it's not about one man having a job. However, this particular man not having a job represents the racism and the desire to quiet the issue. Right, and the desire to tell the other players, don't say anything, right? So we are, it's more than just having a job. But if Colin is silenced in this way and Jay-Z helps silence Colin, who he supports, then no, we are not really dealing with the issue. We're not allowing all the players to talk. And I don't understand. Jay-Z has been moving toward criminal justice issues, right? And being that guy who wants to talk about Khalif Browder, wants to talk about Trayvon Martin, want to talk about what Meek Mill has been through. How does this, getting in bed with the NFL in this way, how does this square with that?
So let me highlight an irony here. When Colin Kaepernick took a knee, he took a knee to expose racism in a different platform. Basically racism in law enforcement. Yes. And how black and brown folks were brutalized and killed being unarmed, and you know the story. But what he did in attempting to bring attention to that is he exposed the racism that existed in the NFL.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what he ended up doing.
Both in the owner's booth and in the stands.
That's right.
Because all the white fans were like, we don't want to hear it, shut up and play.
Right, which was really insane because we have always celebrated the activism of white people in the NFL when it was something agreeable to white folks.
Mm.
We have always accepted that.
Mm. Tim and Tebow we have been kneeled. Proud.
Come on, man.
For Jesus.
Right, and we were proud of that, right?
And you're right. You were right when you said if it had been about domestic violence, if it had been about cancer, right? Because we're out here wearing pink.
That's right.
Right? If it had been about anything except police brutality, it would have been fine, maybe even celebrated.
Yep.
But we don't want to hear about that particular issue. Maybe if it had been about guns, they would have been like, leave
we'll
us
accept
alone.
It, yeah.
Well, no, I think they would have been like, shut up, right?
I don't think, do you think he would have been fired, basically? I mean, blacklisted like he was, if it was about gun violence.
I mean, you know, now we're into a hypothetical, but I think so. I think the issue becomes so polarizing. But this particular issue, police brutality, they were like, we don't want to hear it.
But you know, if it was about black-on-black crime, no problem.
No problem.
No, whatsoever.
No problem. Oh, my God. Why don't you deal with your community?
Exactly, right.
Oh, my God. Oh, we are dealing with our community. But come on now.
Yep.
We have allowed Colin to be minimized in this conversation, right? And him not having a job when there's at least 10 teams that would benefit from having him as their starting quarterback.
Sure.
And 100% of the teams, he's better than their backup.
Yeah.
So Colin is being blackballed, to use that old term, right? And it's not right. And we can't just say, push Colin aside. And this is what this does. It pushes Colin aside. I mean, Jay-Z's all but literally pushing Colin aside when he says, hey, we have moved on from kneeling.
Let me read what Eric Reed said. Eric Reed.
Come with it.
Said, and I quote, Jay-Z doesn't need the NFL's help. to address social injustices. It was a money move for him and his music business. The NFL gets to hide behind his black face to try to cover up blackballing Colin. Hashtag neocolonialism.
The same way that Trump benefits from Kanye standing beside him and he gets to say, how can I be racist if the guy you love is standing with me? And now Roger Goodell gets to say the same thing. And he doesn't even need to verbalize it. He's just standing next to Jay-Z. We're in partnership. And how can I be racist? And I don't think the NFL is racist as an institution. I think there are a lot of racist owners. But I don't think the institution is racist. I think they want to just move on and get back to entertaining. But what Colin understands, what Eric Reed understands, is if we have a massive platform and we have an issue that is super important to us, that is literally killing our community, and we say nothing, we are part of the problem.
What's insane about this entire thing is that taking a knee is fundamental to our democracy, because when soldiers fight for this country, they fight for your freedom to stand, sit, take a knee, take a drink, take a bow, whatever you want to do when a national anthem is being played, because you are free to do so. We were founded as a country based on the dynamic of a protesters' movement. People who founded this country were protesting.
Yeah. They were in revolution.
They were in
Too, you know, media at first was covering it. ESPN was covering it. Yeah. Local news would cover it.
Then it got real.
And slowly we moved on. They moved on from that. They would stop showing whether or not players were kneeling. They would stop talking about. Now, you had to be Megan Rapinoe in another sport to get that attention.
Let me tell you something that happened here in Atlanta. We do Hawks games here in Atlanta. This was about a year ago. And anytime we as personalities are scheduled to do a Hawks game, we do the beginning thing. We do the halftime thing. We're interacting with the crowd. We do the whole show, right? So we come out on the court as radio personalities. We come out on the court during the national anthem. And we stand right there in front of everybody in the stadium. Well, the song came on. I said, well, damn. I need to take a knee. I took a knee. The camera, and I believe it was Fox 5 News, the camera immediately swooped away from me.
Mm.
Oh, I mean, you could see it like, boom, let's get the camera off of this guy. And to this day, I have never been invited back. Never been invited back. That's just the real. That's real.
That's just silencing. They're trying to silence you. Why are they trying to silence you?
It's all good, man. I got a big, big microphone, man.
No, I know, but but you know, that silencing, it's not American. We're supposed to
But see, that's the thing. It's not American, Torrey. It's not fundamental to American values.
But this is the schism that America's had. That it claimed to be a democratic nation on a hill. And it's been black people consistently who have challenged that notion and made it be what it really is, the democratic nation that it claimed to be.
Come on.
And this is once again us agitating to say we need to be all we're saying is stop killing us.
Yeah.
And you're saying shut up and play.
Yeah.
Just stop killing us. Is that so hard?
We got more on the other side, man. I got Torrey in the building. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. What's happening? Welcome back. Torrey in the building, journalist extraordinaire. Make sure you check out his podcast, Torrey Show and Democracy-ish. Both are remarkable podcasts.
Thank you.
Okay. You say this may be one of the greatest public mistakes that Jay-Z has ever made. Maybe, right? It's not 100%.
We're going to see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Now, I did
not. But he's already done enough damage to the Colin Kaepernick movement just by entering the conversation.
Well, he's disrupted it. And the way he answered the question about Colin Kaepernick being involved with this, I thought was completely inappropriate. As a matter of fact, Jamin, let's play the Jay-Z. Let's play some of the Jay-Z back and forth where he was explaining to the world, basically.
We moved on from kneeling.
Right.
Come on.
Let's hear it, man.
I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you.
I think we've passed kneeling. I think everyone knows what the issue is. And we're done with that.
You know why we were kneeling?
Everybody's telling.
Okay. Do you know the issue?
Yeah.
Do you know the issue?
Yes? We all know the issue now. Okay. Where are we moving on next? And I'm not, again, so to be clear for the room, I'm not minimizing that part of it because that has to happen. That's a necessary part of the process because the kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. Let me bring attention to injustice. Everyone's saying, how are you going forward? And Cap doesn't have a job. This wasn't about him having a job. You know what it is. Now, how do we address that injustice?
This is not a good start. First of all,
when he said for the room, he could hear the criticism.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me address
right.
the criticism because I know what people are saying.
But Torrey, the problem with his answer is that people knew the issue before Colin took a knee. They knew the issue.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, Colin made it more controversial from the standpoint of the NFL being involved,
Colin
but they
made,
knew the issue.
Colin made it that you can't just ignore it.
Right.
Right? You tune in to your nice game, you want to sit down and relax, and Colin is reminding you, hey, we got a massive problem in America.
Right.
And he's not kneeling in the middle of the game to where the game itself is interrupted. He's kneeling before the game starts, right?
Yeah.
It was a quiet, silent protest. If you wanted to look away, you could.
You don't get more nonviolent than the way he protested,
exactly,
right? That's a real nonviolent
but he
protest.
He wants to remind you, we still have a massive right. problem in America that I am dealing with. There's no reason why Colin might not get shot on the way home from the game.
Right.
If you think this is only certain people and is only a certain reaction to the cop, and if you would only be polite to the cops, have you not seen the Alton Sterling video? Or what, was it the Philando Castile when he had his daughter in the back? Was he not polite to
Very
the cop?
Polite.
The way he spoke to him, officer, I want you to know I have a weapon.
Right, told him exactly what it was.
Right, spoke to him a very polite way, and he's dead a couple seconds later.
And then the cop even said when the, I think fiance said, why did you shoot him? And the cop said, I don't know. Like, out of reaction, he said, I don't know. Wow.
And he's dead. It's not about the way that we respond. It's about the fear of the officer. And I respect that the police officers have an extremely difficult job. And when you do a traffic stop, you have no idea what you're getting into. I respect that. And I understand that. But you got to have a lot more self-control with the power that you are given than to fire so quickly. And the bias in which, and who is getting killed in these ways is clear that you have an extra fear of us, right? And we know police officers are afraid, more afraid of a black person without a gun than a white person with a gun.
Mm.
Colin Kaepernick say, hey, we're not going to let you forget that.
Right.
It's not going to be just you tune into MSNBC and you see that, right? And if you tune into Fox, it does not exist in your world,
mm-hmm.
right? We got to remind you this is going on. So how we have moved on because everybody knows, I don't understand that. And that Colin gets to be pushed aside and kicked out of the league. And it's like, it's more than just a man. It is more than just a man, but it's not.
But what about the concept here of Jay-Z obviously being in a position now to bring attention and money to social injustice, right? Because they're going to give him money. He will be able to control some projects, and he may actually do some good. But is he doing this good while ignoring the obvious racism that still exists or the prejudice that still exists within the empire known as the NFL?
I mean, you know, if Jay-Z is going to be the insider voice telling Roger Goodell, hey, we got to deal with this issue in this way, and, you know, okay.
What can he do, man? In your opinion, what can Jay-Z do to make this a win in your mind?
I mean, I would like to see Colin working.
I would too.
I would,
but he's working for Nike.
Well, no, I mean working in the NFL.
That's what I agree.
Wants. That's
I agree,
he
man.
Wants.
He should be back.
He should not have to deal with a multi-year suspension.
If
of his
Jay-Z
career.
Can orchestrate the return of Colin Kaepernick, Jay-Z will get my vote for president. I would just write him. I don't even give a damn if he's running or not. I will write
You're
in Jay-Z for the rest of my natural black life.
Well, don't do that. This is still a this is still a red state, is it
right,
not?
Right, yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah, it's kind of purplish on
is
some
it?
Days.
Is
yeah.
it? On
yeah,
a national
no. Stacey
level?
Stacey Abrams almost won in this state. And there's a legitimate argument to be made. If it had not been for all of the cheats
mm-hmm.
put in place by the other side, that she may have taken home the victory.
I love Stacey Abrams.
Remarkable.
And I want to see more from her in the future.
You got
I want to see governor. I want to see maybe senator.
She's doing a national campaign now. She announced it a couple of days ago. The federal judge, Totenberg, ruled yesterday that basically Stacey Abrams was right with how Georgia handled the election. Mm. You can't go back and overturn the election, but you can put some policies in place. So the judge ruled that from now on in 2020 and beyond, Georgia has to have a paper ballot audit. So every vote that you cast now from 2020 beyond in Georgia, unless the decision is appealed successfully, it will have a paper ballot connected to it.
Mm.
Right.
I mean, I find her extraordinarily inspiring, just
brilliant,
as a person.
Man. She's always been like that. I've known Stacey since my days working as the director for the Georgia Democratic Party. She has always maintained a reputation for really being the most brilliant person in the room. Mm-hmm. And she always was.
This is the sort of person we want as a public servant, right? I mean, and clearly lives the notion of a public servant.
Right.
And look, there's a lot of people who have lost a big race and come back to win and establish an effective political career after that. So by no means is she done. I look forward to her running again.
And she's open to VP, according to her. She's open now.
I
she mean, wasn't before.
You know, that would be very powerful. I want to underline the notion that we do not vote based on VPs.
We really
I would
don't.
Love to see
I
her
I think
as
we
vice
used
president.
To years ago, more so than today.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, we vote the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it was, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Stacey Abrams or Elizabeth Warren and Gavin Newsom, it's not going to make a significant difference.
Let me ask you this before you go, because I've determined that if two white, male, straight folks are running on the Democratic ticket, if there are two white males, straight white males, I can't vote for the Democrat. I can't vote for any of them.
Wow. Wow.
That's just where I'm at with it, man.
I just want to throw out the notion that the Democrats have not gotten a white man into the White House since 1996.
That's a good point.
At what point are we going to say white men cannot win?
That's really,
well, you know, really. People want to say Hillary lost, so we can't nominate a woman. We haven't had a white man on the Democratic side win this since 1996. That's a long time.
You
need
make
to
a
move
great
on
point.
From white men. They cannot win.
That point also flies in the face of when, like, an Al Gore loses, no one says, well, moderate white men just can't win. No
Al
one
Gore,
says that.
John Kerry.
Right.
Come on.
That's
come
a good
on.
Point, man.
We need a woman. We need something different. Don't be afraid of a woman because Hillary lost. Hillary lost. Hillary had extraordinary baggage. She had personal problems in terms of her ability to.
She'd been in politics a long time,
I was
man.
At the event in Philadelphia the night before the election. Barack came out and speak the election. The energy was very high.
Right.
Michelle spoke. The energy was very high. Hillary came out. The energy just dissipated. She was not that politician.
She never has been.
Her issue. That does not mean that Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris cannot win. Those, to me, are the people I am most excited about. Those, to me, are people who people will get excited about, have enthusiasm about. That's what we need in a nominee.
How can people follow you?
Come to Democracy-ish. For more content on politics, come to Torre Show for more content on black people and success. I'm on Twitter at Torre. I'm on Instagram at Torre Show. But Democracy-ish and Torre Show, my podcast, that's where you're going to get the best of me.
T-O-U-R-E.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. This has been exhilarating and fun. I appreciate you
Thank you.
All you do. Phone lines are jam-packed. News and Talk 1380 W-A-O-K.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.